We'll do a little post-regular season, not postseason. End of regular season recap, ACC, NCAA, mostly UVA focused, obviously. Got Hav here, Chris Havlicek, and Dougie Fresh Smith. I'm TW. Mark is coaching. Phony is unavailable. I don't know where Ben Forrest may join in a little bit, but I thought we'd get us together and at least talk about, now that the season has ended, how you guys thought it went. I actually listened to our preseason podcast last night. Thought it was pretty interesting. I mean,
how did we do, T Dub? What are the grade? Did we grade out okay?
I must have gotten smashed.
We did okay. I think Marky, have and myself said we would be on the bubble. Me and you said we maybe will probably get in. And then Mark said he's not sure if we'd get in. We said like fourth or fifth in the ACC. And then Fresh said we'd win the ACC outright. You were right about Reese shooting, improving over the course of the year.
No, I said he shot 38%. Yeah. I remember that vividly.
He nailed that one.
For numbers.
What did he end up shooting? 34?
I think.
35.
No, I think a little lower, but I think in ACC games, like
yeah, you're right. He had higher.
Yeah, higher in the ACC for sure. Yeah,
he. But then let's just make my numbers work. Have the last 10 games, he's 40%, whatever it is. Well,
Fresh, you get like half. You get like half of the final score predictions right. So I can't give you a free win on that. You get okay. You're like killing us on that.
I can't do it all.
I was going to start with, we talked about in the post game, but most of these listeners don't tune into every post game show. But post game, we talked about the Coach K farewell, whatever that was. What did you guys think now that it's ended? What are your thoughts?
You want me to start?
Go ahead, okay. Fresh.
Go ahead, Fresh.
You know what? Guilty pleasure. I watched it. I watched the game. I watched the lead up. I thought it was great. Like, I can't say anything bad about Coach K, man. I watched his press conference after. It was way too long. He said some, you know, the one thing, he's become like a little philosophical about things, and he's taught, which he has every right to do, like 2 years. I like seeing all the players, you know, his players there. His former players, they're around. They look, you know, they weren't being Cameron crazies. They were kind of being cool and hanging out and watching. But, you know, I also like the fact that UNC and Hubert Davis, passing of the torch from Roy Williams, beat their ass, to be quite frank. I predicted Duke would win. I didn't want Duke to win. I love the fact that somebody went in there and took it and, you know, resent. Like, Duke had control early. And maybe coaching genius of Hubert Davis, probably not. But whatever happened, it flipped, and then it was just like good night. Nothing Duke could do about it. And then we saw the handshake line once again. His assistants just proving to be, I don't even know what the word is. You know, looking off Hubert Davis, not shaking his hand, looking away from touching his hand. Nolan Smith, the other coaches, maybe Carwell. I don't know, but that's just complete nonsense, dude. Hubert Davis was a better basketball player than both of those guys. And now he's a head coach and you're not. Like, just give some respect, right? It's how hard is that? You beat us. You know, we'll probably do better than you in the tournament. You know,
right.
Congratulations.
On the one side, it's like, hey, let's be competitive. I hate it when guys are friends. And then you see this and you're like, all right, come on. This is at least.
It's a handshake. Set an example for everybody. Look somebody in the eye. Good game. You don't have to say you're awesome. You're great. Good game. Good game. Right. Good game. Move on. If you're doing that, or otherwise, don't do the handshake.
Or just don't do it. Like the Detroit Pistons against, you know, Isaiah Thomas against the Bulls. They just walk off before the game ends.
Yep.
And half the people thought that was really cool, and the other half thought that was the biggest dick move ever.
Yeah, I didn't think that was so bad. Half. What do you think about that?
The game wasn't over yet.
I was like, they're getting out of it. The Bulls did it too. Maybe against the Celtics when they first beat them.
Yeah.
The game's over. I'm going home.
I haven't thought about that one. I mean, that was a long time ago. But just in, you know, rule of thumb in general, I think you compete really hard. You can hate the other team. If they beat you, you gotta dap them up, shake hands and say good game. Yeah. I think that's just part of being a competitive person, an athlete. You put it this way. You see in MMA or boxing, guys hate each other for, you know, they train for 4 months. They hate each other.
Hold their hands up.
They get, you know, it's real, you know, you have to stand there while they announce the other winner.
Yes.
And they always, almost always, there are, you know, some exceptions, but they almost always embrace and say, mm-hmm. hey, really good fight, regardless of it. In regards to Coach K, I have a couple thoughts. One is, I think that team was massively distracted all week by the pomp and circumstance of Coach K's kind of farewell last game. There was a lot of energy around that, a lot of people in town, a lot of distraction. And to me, it looked like Carolina was just in the gym working, and Duke had, you know, some luncheons, and they had media appearances, and you know, everyone was trying to get to them, and they got massively distracted, and they got beat. It was not a close game by any stretch. And that rivalry, man, whoever seems to be favored usually loses. Like, I feel like Duke wins in Carolina, at Carolina a lot, and Carolina wins at Duke a lot, which is, I think, unusual. What is kind of alarming to me is, you know, if you listen to Coach K's comments, he mentioned, the last thing he said before he walked off is, and the season's not over. So my fear is that this is really going to rally them. He's going to do, you know, I guarantee he was distracted this week. He's going back to, you know, they might be in our locker room this week. Who's that? Kyle? I think they're going to get back to basics. They're going to be in their locker room. They're going to be in the gym. They're going to be shooting, and they're going to go on a tear because he's really going to refocus them, which isn't great for us who want, you know, we want to win the ACC, that we have to, I think, to get in now. But that, as it relates to the handshake line, my hope would be that Coach K grabs those guys and says, hey, we don't do that. You haven't earned the right to be dismissive of a head coach. You haven't earned the right to act like that. One of the coaches, their explanation was that he didn't come over and shake hands before the game. That's pregame, man. You're still doing things with your assistant coaches. Like, it was a bad excuse. I bet if that kid had to do it over again, he'd shake his hand. So you can only hope. You can only hope it'll be a learning thing for him. But my big, you know, what I see happening is Duke is really going to refocus. They're going to come out on fire. He's going to be working them hard the next few days, getting them ready, and they're going to be a different team than we saw on the floor at Cameron the other night.
Yeah, I think the point about the circumstance of the game, it's draining, man. Nonstop interviews, you know, Kay's probably not as focused. He's probably like letting Shire and whatever. And it's draining. And the game happens and they're like, oh shit, now we got to play. The kids are hearing it. And it's a lot of pressure. Like, you're 19 years old. You've been alive 19 years old. You played basketball 1 year for Duke, and he's been there 42 years. It's kind of like, what does it have to do with me having to win his last game for him, right? Now, if it was Christian Laettner, Bobby Hurley, Grant Hill, Thomas Hill, on and on and on, and they had the chance to play in the last game, it would have meant a lot more, right?
Yeah, like, and you got to remember, their first years, they're freshmen, most of them, they're transfers. The enormity of the moment was probably, I think they recognized it, but you're right, it wasn't a guy that's been there 4 years, a team that's been together a long time. And it's the first time they went through it, you know? That was a big deal. It was a historic moment for the ACC. And Coach K, I know he wanted to win that game, but he'd rather win the ACC tournament and the NCAA championship than his last game at home.
Yeah.
It's
probably a cool opportunity for everybody in that team to have that kind of pressure randomly for a meaningless game in the big scheme of things, right? Like, they can look back on it and maybe get some glean something. I mean, I personally, I didn't even watch it. Like, I don't care. It's nothing to do with me.
I love that.
I'm a Virginia fan first. I love it. You know, ACC fan, yes, but in terms of like where it, I just didn't care. Like, it's, that's a Duke thing. That's a UNC. I don't know what it is. Like, I just
I mainly watched it to watch the defensive player of the year in the ACC today, to watch him get worked by the ACC player of the year.
Yeah.
Just to prove we all know who the real one was, but sorry.
We need to get into that.
Yeah, let's get into that. The ACC awards are announced today.
Yep.
Player of the year, rookie of the year, coach of the year, defensive player of the year, most improved player, six man. I mean, we were just talking, most of them are kind of whatever. The only one we cared about, defensive player of the year, was Mark Williams for Duke.
Yep.
And Reese Beekman was second with 20 votes to the, I believe it was 40, 46.
Oh, is that many? I didn't know. I didn't see the vote.
Yeah.
He won 46
to 20.
Yeah, well, you know what? The majority of those guys, shame on you for not knowing much about basketball. Or worse even, if you're trying to, like, make a statement for Duke. Because, and look, I didn't watch Mark Williams more than probably four or five times this year. So I don't really know what he did on defense. I watched Reese a lot. And I've never seen something similar from a guard.
My guess would be similar to, like, player of the year. You try to take a guy from one of the better teams that outperformed. Yeah. So if it's defensive player of the year, we didn't have a great defensive team. It wasn't like the typical Tony Bennett top defensive team. Let's take the best defensive player on that right. team. That's my guess why he didn't win it. Had we been KenPom one on defense and nobody, you know, stopped everybody every time, he probably would have won it.
I had the exact same thought today. So Malcolm Brogdon won it.
Right.
And that team gave up like 47 points a game. Whatever. I'm exaggerating. Probably not. And like, Malcolm was a great, great, great defender, and he should be recognized for it. But, you know, it was within the system, right?
Right.
Reese is like just a different. I don't know how to describe it. He's on his own.
We always talk about how hard it is to cover every NCAA team. I mean, hell, it's hard to cover and watch every ACC game with the level that we watch Virginia with. Imagine trying to do that with all 20 some schools. It's impossible, right? Like.
No.
You're gonna have to glean some stuff.
I'm gonna make a run at it next year. I'm gonna try to cover.
Try to watch every game. It's tough.
Boy, it's a lot. Back to that award. I think that award is so heavily skewed towards big men. Number one, yep. Right? That's a shot block. You know, you block a shot against the backboard. Right. You throw one out of bounds. You swat a guy. That is more. That's more noticeable than some steals and deflections, unless you really, really follow the game. So right. I think it's a big man award. I think you have to be exemplary to be considered as a guard. Reese absolutely was that. And you know, he should take a lot of pride in that award. I know he's a team guy. And I guarantee, you know, you ask a few of the coaches around the ACC, and if there were two awards, you know, the best defensive big man and best defensive, you know, guard or wing or whatever, Reese would make that. So I chalk it up to a big bias for big men on that award. But I really hope Reese takes pride in it, and more importantly, uses that as you know, that's kind of his first big recognition, I think, at the league level, and let's have that be his foundation, and really motivate him over the summer to continue to improve and get better.
So if you look at ACC defensive player of the year winners last year, Jose Alvarado, year before that, Trey Jones, then it was DeAndre Hunter, Isaiah Wilkins, Ben Lammers, Georgia Tech again, then Malcolm Brogdon, Darion Atkins, and a lot of Virginia in there.
Darion was a player of the year.
Yeah, Darion was national. He won national defensive player of the year that year.
Was Akil?
Akil was not. Akil didn't get defensive player of the year. Crazy, right?
Crazy. I thought Akil invented that, and I guess Darion, whatever he kind of mastered.
Yeah. T-Dub, we had a couple others, right? We had Jaden was third team All ACC.
I didn't realize we had so many defensive players here. Go ahead, sorry, Hav. Sorry.
Yeah, All ACC team. The Virginia notables were Jaden Gardner was third team, and then honorable mention Kihei got 22 votes. Reese got 15. He was the last honorable mention. Reese.
Oh, Reese was on it on the honorable mention.
Yep.
I didn't see that.
So pretty cool.
Yep. I think Kihei sort of got it for his body of work over the 4 years. If you guys are going to disagree, but not necessarily for this year.
Not even this year, right?
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, he's done enough.
Little known fact: I was an honorable mention All ACC team 1993.
Nice.
And they didn't put the votes out back then. But I was told you only had to get one vote to be on. 70 guys were on. I have no idea. So probably like maybe Jerry Radcliffe, like, I don't know.
That's a good one.
There's no chance it was more than two.
Caden also was recognized for getting votes as, or I think he placed fifth for, was it six man?
Yes.
Oh, he became an official six man, huh?
Yeah, he had five votes for six man of the year. Cleveland from Florida State got 52 votes. He won. Tony Bennett got one vote for ACC Coach of the Year.
That was Corey.
Yeah. Reese Beekman got second, of course, in all ACC defensive team, which is cool. And then all rookie team, there's no UVA.
Who was the most improved player?
Most improved player was Darion Sebron.
Okay.
NC State kid, right?
Yeah, he's a beast.
People were talking about hoping that Reese got that. I'm really happy he did not get it because Reese was a real player last year, right?
Yeah, he didn't get any votes. So,
but I didn't want him to be considered a most improved guy. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah. So, I mean, arguments, complaints, anything? I mean, other than the Reese, maybe. But I would love to have seen Reese get it. But I always assume, you know, Tobacco Road voting. Maybe that's an old school thing. But I'm like, we're 3-1.
I mean, it's pretty obvious, man. I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't get it, but I expect nothing less at this point.
Yeah, and let's be honest too. I mean, he's a really good defensive player, Williams. He's a shot blocker. You know, he did a lot defensively. It's just, again, I think it's more of a blocked shot award than it is.
I love that somebody said on Twitter, here's your defensive player of the year completely lost while Reese Beekman hits his game winner.
That was funny. That was great. I responded, obviously.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, yeah, there's not much you can do. I mean, the other thing, I mean, at least back in when you guys played, the complaint was always, oh, yeah, if you're in that triangle area, like you're seen by voters a lot more than Virginia, right? Because you'll see if you're covering NC State, you watch Carolina, you watch Duke, you watch Wake, you watch them more.
And teams come there.
Yeah. And only teams only come once or twice, whereas the others you see a lot more often. I don't know how true that is, especially now with so many teams. It just still feels like if you're in that corridor, you've got a little more of an opportunity. And then
Duke, there's four, right? Wake, NC State, Carolina, Duke.
Yeah.
And all the roads have to lead into there. So all the reporters are going to the games and what stays fresh in your mind, right?
Yeah, right. And then the ESPN Duke hype machine is on full force, as we know from the farewell, whatever.
Oh, curtain.
Yeah. Who were the great defenders in our time, in our your 5 years? Like, would you say who in the world was our defensive player of the year in the ACC in 1992? I have no idea.
I don't know, but when I think of defense during our era, I think of Cornell and Anthony.
Yeah.
You know, there was a real role as like a defensive stopper.
Yeah.
That both those guys played so really well. Huh? Yeah.
There were so many good two guards, right? That you had to stop.
You had every game. There was a you know, top tier 4 year guy, Rodney Monroe, Grant, Gugliotta. You know, I mean, just
on and on.
Dennis Scott, Brian Oliver. There were just so many good players. Bob Sura, great one. And it was different. Like, it wasn't. We played good defense, but We didn't have a pack line, right? We just played good D, and it was on Anthony and Cornell a lot of times to dig in and stop those guys, slow them down. They did a great job of it. And I don't, you know, nobody knows better than me. I had to play against them in practice all the time. And it was, you know, it was tough. Those guys were good. Fresh, you saw, you know, we both saw it every day. But I do think there was like a defensive stopper role. There was a defensive stopper role, which doesn't necessarily exist today like it did back then.
I remember Derek Phelps was incredible, and he had to guard a lot of really good people. He was Reese, a little bit like Reese, but his arms were more out. Reese's hands are in the air.
Yeah.
But he was always in position, slid well. They call it sliding, right?
We talked about this. Who's the Reese comp? I mean, we said Rondo in the post game. That was the closest I could come up with. But who's a comp for Reese?
As a player, as a total player?
Closest.
I'm staying with my ABA, NBA 75 to 85, kind of a tall point guard, Paul Pressey, Michael Ray Richardson, Rod Strickland later.
You know, I think one guy that I just thought of, I was trying to think of I saw a blurb on Facebook about the 84 Olympic team that Bobby Knight coached, and Alvin Robertson, who's a great player from Arkansas. Yep. I think he made it because of his defense.
Yeah.
He made the team because of his defense. But I think as to people that follow the NBA, I think Rondo's a pretty good comp. Not a great shooter, but became serviceable as a shooter. Very quick hands, long arms, disruptive.
Rondo has long arms?
Yeah, like super long. Like
I didn't know that.
Like 7 foot wingspan for like a 6'4" guy.
You know, the one thing about Reese, and he doesn't have a bigger fan than me, his handles aren't that off the charts, right?
Efficient handle, but not flashy.
It's just he doesn't do much with it, but it's very efficient. And I'm always, a lot of times it's kind of loose, and I'm like, he's gonna lose it, but he's never like, you know, toying with somebody over here and bring it back here. he just uses the way he does, which is interesting to me as well.
Yeah,
Rondo's got handles.
Yeah,
I would say defensively he's more like Rondo in terms of his ability to lock in on a guy, and he could play up. Right, he could guard two, maybe even three if he has to. Pretty impressive. I'm excited to see what Reese develops into these next year or two.
Oh, I think next year you're going to see an explosion. Like, for real, for real.
Offensively as well, you think?
I mean, the defense he's got down, that's not going to change. It'll only get better. I think offensively he's at the point. Let's assume Kia's not there. He's going to really, what do they call it, go into your bag. I think he's got a lot more to show that he does. You know, we see the flashes of his drives to the basket, you know, and that type of stuff, the dunks. I think he's got some stuff coming, and I think he's going to have a great, great summer.
What about you, Hav? We've talked about this. Yeah, he doesn't average but 7 points a game. To talk about him as an NBA elite guard seems a little wild. But those that love, I mean, when you really watch him, you're like, how can he not be? He's just freaking amazing. But then when you look at the stats, you're like, all right, maybe not. Let's pump the brakes. This team isn't that great.
I think Reese, first thing I'll say is the last 10 games, the game has definitely slowed down for him. You can see him. He doesn't have that, I won't call it nervous, but there's no deer in the headlights look. Like, he knows what he's doing, and I feel like he was to the point where he would say, okay, I'm gonna score or get a bucket for a guy. The last 10 games I think we saw that. I always want to pump the brakes on in forum and just in casual discussion when people are talking about Reese in the NBA. I think Reese has a solid foundation to become an NBA player, but offensively, you know, you look at the guards today in the NBA,
right?
You've got to be able to shoot,
yep.
Right? To make a team, you've got to be able to get your own shot. facilitate. And the other thing that I think will hurt Reese, and this is not his fault, you know, say he goes 4 years at Virginia, he's going to be going 4 years without running. And as we know, the NBA, like guys are getting up and down the court. They're scoring 110, 120 points. That will be, I think, a challenge for him. However, he does have a really solid foundation on which to build, about as solid as you can get. But his scoring will have to improve a lot. And the other thing I'd like to see him is, I think he makes good plays, but when he gets to the point when he says, I need to get Poppy a shot or a dunk. I thought Kihei did that really effectively this year with Caden, lobbing it up, and he would get guys shots. Reese can do that, but I think next year we'll see him do it a lot more frequently.
He's got to get himself a little bit outside of the I think he's been very focused, to your point, about slowing down, but being inside of the offense. He's got to figure out the Ty Jerome thing. How do I get myself good enough to be outside of the offense?
All right.
At certain times. He's had flashes for sure, the drives, and everybody's like, whoa. He just rose up and dunked on whoever. He has it.
Right.
And it's just a matter of him taking that on. That's the mental side, probably. Mentality.
Yeah, and the picking and choosing when to do that, because what seems to what happens is you see and you're like, why don't we see that more often? Where is that coming from?
Yep.
And a guy like Ty, you're like, I know why it came out, because it's the end of the game. We need a bucket. I think that's the difference, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, you bring it out when we really need it. Maybe that's next year. And let's keep it real. If he has a breakout next year, he's probably going to the league, right? If he's going to come out and average 17 a game and dominate and be ACC Defensive Player of the Year, all ACC, we win, he's probably gone, right?
I think Reese is a lot, you know, Reese is going to be invited to all the big time point camps this summer, and you know it's a good thing. Like Ty had that, right?
The CP3 camp, and
and they were like, wait, he's the best point guard in this camp.
Yeah,
so you get away from Coach Bennett, which is fine. Like I love playing AAU because I got away from my high school coach,
right?
As much as I love my high school coach, but it was just like you could just now be yourself,
and maybe that's where he gets the ability to run and be with elite athletes and play and showcase himself. And maybe it is at a CP3 camp or Steph Curry camp or something like that, where he gets to showcase and make a name for himself outside of Virginia basketball.
And he's going to be the only guy at that camp that brings the defensive stuff, right?
Like, right.
They're going to be like, the coaches are going to be like, whoa.
Locking people up.
About it, but we didn't know.
I think a lot of his best moments are when he has to do it because the shot clock's running down. We all remember the Duke shot. We remember the Syracuse shot. There's been a lot of situations just in the shot flow clock of the game where, all right, he gets the ball back with 4 seconds on the clock and he's got to do something and he is able to do it. Yep. And that's impressive. So hopefully, you know, we'll see more of that. You know, he is playing in a system that really values possessions and they're never going to be up and down. So he's going to have to pick and choose. But when he does that, but he has it in him, there's a good chance that, you know, I think he'll have a breakout year next year. And then, you know, and then maybe he works another year on really, really getting the jumper down. But he won't be an NBA player if he doesn't have the ability to shoot an NBA three. And as a guard, like there's just, you know, there's not that many guys in the NBA who can't shoot or who are not elite shooters at his size.
And that's a great point. Like his threes are tucked up to the line, right? I hadn't thought about that. He's not
a couple steps back.
The step back three is something people think is like, oh, that's a fancy word or whatever, but that's how you create space today. Like that, you need that in your arsenal. How many times have we lost, Virginia been lost, or at least had game has been put away because someone took one of those, like multiple times, right? Like you need that in your bag, so to speak. Hopefully he gets that.
Right? Definitely as a guard. I mean, I watch a lot of Celtics games and you guys remember Peyton Pritchard, right?
Yep.
Peyton Pritchard is not defensively anywhere close to Reese. He's not as quick. He can't jump nearly as high, but he has one really elite. The reason he's in the NBA is because he can shoot.
Yeah.
And, you know, you remember this summer that he had, I think he scored like 100 points in a game or 80 points in one of those pro-am league games. Like, he can shoot. And I think at Reese's size, he's got to be able to shoot. There's a few weird guys like Patrick Beverley is in the NBA because of his defense, but he is a complete psychopath. And, you know, just a unique, weird player that has carved out a niche. But look at, you know, look at, here's a good one. Lonzo Ball, you know, had the weird shot when he came in, but he was so good at getting to the rim and distributing. And now his shot's pretty good.
Right.
He worked on it and got better. Yeah. And he shot at a pretty high percentage in college. It was just really ugly. So get that shot down. You know, I want him to go to the CP3 camp, go to that shot doctor guy, whatever his name is, and really work it. And if he puts that in his bag where he is a volume shooter and can step back, you know, a couple feet outside the college 3-point line. I mean, look at Ty. I mean, Ty was shooting Steph Curry length in college,
right.
In games. And forget practice. Ferris has seen that guy shoot from the logo in practice all the time and warmups and all that. But if he can get that kind of range and shot, he'll be a really tough cover.
And Faris Wasim just joined, former UVA manager. Faris, we were just talking about, we went through the All-ACC stuff and the snub with, quote-unquote snub, but we're talking about Reese's game, what he needs to bring next year to make the league, to make that jump to being like a pro. So that's kind of where we are. What are your thoughts on Reese as a pro prospect that puts you on the spot?
Put me on the spot. I'm a NBA scout, but no, he does need to develop a consistent shot. I think he has it at times, but it definitely needs to be consistent because he has everything else. I mean, he has athleticism, he can guard. So usually when guys can guard, you want them to accompany that with a 3-point shot in the NBA. So, yeah, if he can develop a consistent shot, then he'll be good. And it's not easy to develop a consistent shot, but his shot is not horrible. So he just needs to be more consistent about it.
Yeah, when I think about like NBA player, I'm like, all right, 7-game series. Can this guy play in one? Like, can you counter him? And he seems like someone you could in a 7-game series could shut some people down and maybe win a game for you, which I think is very interesting to say the least. So.
I got a question, and I have not seen Reese in person, but he's listed at 6'2", right? Is he a legit 6'2", or is he like a 6'1" that we say is 6'2"? I know he's got the long arms, but is he a legit 6'2"?
Is he a legit? I'm so bad with that stuff. I'm so bad at estimating. I will say what you're listed at is definitely not your height more times than not. And it's not far off, but, you know, those are rounded a little. So I guess based off that theory, I wouldn't say he's legit 6'2", but, you know, he's close to it.
I think what gets me with Reese, he kind of has his shoulders are a little hunched over. He doesn't stand super upright. So I don't get a good feel for like how tall he really is. My guess is he's, you know, 6'2" probably seems right, but he doesn't. I mean, he plays much bigger than that just because of his style.
No, I think Reese is a legit 6'3". Plus the hair changed it, right?
It's hard. The hair, for sure.
I mean, I've lost an inch and a half since college, so.
All right. So enough for Reese. We love Reese. Comment I saw on Twitter today was Jaden Gardner said in the post game that he's likely to return, but every option is on the table. He is going to assess it at the end of the year.
I think I saw he said he's seriously considering it.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. So,
yeah. Sure. He said he didn't want to do the senior night in case he decided to come back. He wanted that to be special. So, yeah. You know, a little suspense there. I think most people assume he's coming back, but I guess there's a window there where maybe he doesn't come back, which would be a shame considering third team all ACC, incredible season. Yep. Somebody we could rely on. I mean, I would hope he comes back. What are your thoughts on that, Hav?
Well, I think everybody hopes he comes back. The question is, what are his options, right? So right now, if I look at Jaden, he had a really good, I think he outperformed and put to rest any kind of doubt if he could play in the ACC. Obviously, he's third team ACC. I think he lost a lot of weight this year, you know, or maybe just got in a lot better shape. But I looked at that Navy game and his body was different. Fresh and I talked by the end of the year, he was moving so much better, sliding, getting to spots. His conditioning was better. That's, I know that's part of the UVA program, but you know, what are his options? It's not, he's not going to get drafted. He's, I don't think he'd make an NBA roster. He could be maybe a G League guy or go play in Europe. And I think it'll, for him, it'll come down to, you know, what do I, and by the way, he might have those options next year. So do I want to make money? What does the NIL look like? I think those will be important considerations for him. I hope he comes back. I think he will. I think he's, you know, got some more to prove to himself. And he's a competitor. I thought he outperformed this year. He was arguably our best player this year. Night in, night out, consistently scoring, rebounding. So I'd like to see him back. I think he'll come back, but there may be some kind of financial consideration that we don't.
That's where NIL maybe can help make that decision for him. So Cavaliers' future was put something together for us.
Hangs in the balance.
Yeah, let's hope. And then what about Kihei leaving? Do you think that's a good look for Reese, so to speak? Or did do you think the Reese and Kihei thing is like, if there was no Reese in the picture, is Kihei coming back, or am I just blowing that out of the water? What do you think, Forrest?
No, I mean, I think they like each other. They like playing with each other. I think this year a lot of people were, you know, people were saying, oh, they can't play together. Neither of them can shoot. So I think we established that they can play together this year. So I don't think it'd be that. I don't think that'd be the deciding factor. I hope they both come back because that would be an elite backcourt like it was this year. But I think, I mean, again, the deciding factor would be, you know, what are your opportunities elsewhere if you leave UVA? Yeah. Not college related. Just if you go pro, what are your opportunities? How much money are you going to make? Because sometimes you can make, I mean, more oftentimes than not, you can make life-changing money. So it's hard to say no to that.
Let's say the Cavaliers' future, for those that don't know, that is the collective put together officially partnering with UVA to help with the NIL packages, which, you know, we're a little late on, but better late than never. Let's say there's a big pot for him to come in to. Do you think that alters his decision on coming back? Like, he doesn't know about it. Let's say NIL has a big pot of money. There's like, Kihei, here's 100 grand. You can come back. Do you think that alters his decision making?
I mean,
it's not an inducement, obviously, so it can't. But like, yeah, you got to think in the back of your head, it makes some difference. No,
no. It's just dependent on what if he goes pro, what is he going to make? What is he going to make? You know, when he's pro, so it's just all you got to compare. You got to compare what you're going to get. So he will if NIL is deciding factor, he will need a hefty pot to keep him here, if that is a factor for him.
My guess is it's not going to matter, but
yeah,
okay, hopefully it does. Hopefully we make it a tough choice for him somehow. And what do we think about, let's just go to the ACC tournament. We haven't talked about that yet.
Fresh madness is in the air.
Yeah. We got games coming up. What do we think? First off, what do we think about our draw?
I don't like it because I don't want to play Georgia Tech or Clemson the first game, and I think we're probably going to play Georgia Tech.
So we either play Georgia Tech or Louisville.
Yeah, and I said, but in the beginning I said I don't want to play either of those two teams. Georgia Tech's a tough team, man. Tough guards, experienced guards. You know, they won it last year, right? They won the tournament last year.
Yeah,
they're no strangers, sort of. And I do not like that draw. Whatever, I'll just say it.
What about you, Hav? What are your thoughts on it?
We're definitely on what I would consider the harder side of the bracket. I two brackets. I got my sort of like emotionally invested in UVA getting to the NCAA where I have us winning it. And then I have my my other one. In my emotionally invested one, I want to play Bass Tech to go to the finals. I'd love to put a beating on Bass Tech and then go play. I think it'll likely be Duke coming out of the top. But look, we've got a tough road here. You got Notre Dame, Tech, Carolina, and us, basically. With Notre Dame and Carolina both getting a bye and an extra day off, it's the bottom half of the bracket is a lot more challenging than the top, for sure. And we match up better with the top as well. Carolina scares me like, you know, Freddy Krueger when I was 11 years old. I mean, they're terrifying to me. They just beat Duke at Duke. We don't match up with them. Hubert's got them playing pretty well. I know they had a letdown, I think, against, was it Syracuse? They lost to somebody at home shortly before the Duke game, but they're scary to me, and Notre Dame's very good. And, you know, Virginia Tech, Bass Tech, they're playing well. I still will never understand how they're higher ranked than us in the, you know,
net, not BPI, all that stuff.
I just don't get it. They have no quad one wins, and they played a very safe, weak non-conference schedule, and it helped them.
I saw that we are moving up in the next four out thing. I have no idea how. I guess other people are losing.
Teams are losing, but unfortunately, with Navy, we have a quad four loss, which is the worst loss you can have. So,
and JMU.
I think JMU
is going to win their tournament, right?
I think Navy's in the championship of their Patriot.
They're going to be in the NCAA tournament. So how's that a quad four loss?
I mean, them winning the Patriot, like that. I mean, the Patriot League's not that good. So
I get it. I get it. They're still a tournament team, right? Which now we should never lose in Navy for sure.
Yeah, but so I mean that's dragging us down. But no, I agree with Hap. I think our draw is not favorable. I will say us showing that we can beat Duke at Duke means like we can beat anybody anywhere. So in the ACC. Yeah. So I'm not too worried about it. It is what it is. No matter who we had, we would have to go the distance. It's not like if we had Miami as our three seed, we could stop there, but no matter what, we're going to have to go the distance. So it's a little harder, but I think our guys are ready. I think our season was a tale of two halves, and the second half of the season, aside from, you know, FSU, which I consider an anomaly, I think we played pretty good basketball. So I think we're trending in the right direction. Last time we played UNC, we weren't, it was our first half of this season. So it wasn't pretty by any means. So I think we'll be ready. And, you know, the good thing about UNC beating Duke was UNC, I'm not going to say they have nothing to play for, but they have less to play for than they did, you know, 2 days ago. We have everything to play for right now.
Yeah, they won their little Super Bowl, so.
Yeah, then now they're solidly in the tournament, so we have everything to play for right now.
But to bring up, especially the forum discussed, I'm sure the whole world does, Virginia world, rotations. Can we win four games with seven players playing?
Yeah, that's tough.
Is it four or three? We have to win.
Four.
Four.
Back to back to back to back. That's
That's hard.
Dehay and Reese playing 38 minutes. I mean, really?
Yeah, that's why that first game we need to.
That's hard.
The first half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard. But I mean, this is like guys getting an IV after the game type shit, right?
The other thing I'll say, and I think this gets lost on all of us and the general public. Just remember, there's a committee that does this, and Joe Lunardi and all these guys that predict things, they're not the ones picking the teams. And while they think they know who's going in,
they don't know.
They don't know. And, you know, I find it very hard to believe that the committee is disregarding how well your team is playing recently versus early in the year. I know they've said that, and it's apparently not a factor. There's no way that's true.
Right. There's eye tests. There's got to be eye tests in there.
There has to be.
These are all coaches. Test. These are coaches and ADs that are watching the games, right? So
they
watch the games. They also, you got to remember, they've been doing this, most of them, for a long time. And we have a very, I think, favorable kind of resume. I said we had to get to 20 wins. We're at 18 right now. It might need to be 21. But I'm not 100% convinced that we have to win the ACC. If we get to the final against Duke and play well, and maybe say we lose by maybe. I mean, I'm not putting it at even odds or anything like that, but you know, if we win three games in a row and then lose to Duke in the final, it's hard to say they're not one of the 64 best teams.
Yeah.
I love on the Jay Willie show when Mark asked Isaiah Wilkins, what does he think about our chances of getting in? And he's like, my grandpa said, if we win this, we'll get in. But I'm pretty sure he doesn't know.
Right.
He's like, I don't know who knows. He's like, I have no idea who knows what.
The whole thing, my problem with the whole thing is analytics, replay, all these things. KenPom, it's made the actual committee very lazy in my mind. You have an excuse, right? Now, I'm not saying those guys are lazy. I'm sure they're watching games and they're paying attention. They're basketball guys for sure. But you know, if you're a referee, and somebody makes a catch of the pass in the end zone, and they might be out, they might be in, you call it a touchdown, and you go review it. Back in the day, nobody ever missed those calls. I was amazed. Right. Like,
that's
and now point. You can look at the okay. Well, I think Virginia should be in, but you know, I went to the analytics and it said they lost to quadrant, B quadrant, and you can kind of be lazy. You know, I'm not saying they are.
Talk yourself out of it.
Yeah,
I also don't think. And Fresh is right. They sort of have like the answers to the test, and now they got to go take the test, right? But it would shock me if they followed.
I love those tests.
It would shock me if they followed it to the letter on the rankings and the quad and all that. There's going to be three or four teams that maybe get in, and I think we have a shot if we play really well and play Duke and we play them close. You know, I think we get maybe up to like a 50-50 type scenario, and all the quadrant one stuff be damned. I think there will be some old school guys on the committee that says, damn, Virginia's played really well. They lost to Florida State on a complete fluke, heave. They should be in.
And if we get to the finals, we'll have two more quad one wins, hopefully.
At the end of the day, we have to get to the finals. That's step one. You got to make it to Saturday.
And you got to win the first game too, by the way.
Yeah. You know, getting to Saturday is winning the first game, but you got to get to Saturday, and then you can have a discussion about what are our chances. If you don't make it to Saturday, our chances are not good.
Yeah, no. So one game at a time. I'm sure everyone's preaching that.
We're 18 and 12, right?
Yep.
Let's dream 19 and 12, 20 and 12, 21 and 12. And the ACC wins are stacking up. I think at the finals we're in. I mean, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
We got to be in.
Probably we need some
help.
Probably need some help too from other teams to, you know. Nope.
That's true.
So we need to help those teams. And there's always bid stealers too. There's like,
Bid stealers.
Yeah, we kind of hope that everyone who's supposed to win their conference tournament wins their conference tournament.
Yes.
Can't have any bids. But, I mean, Loyola beat Drake yesterday, so that was a big one. Because if Drake had won, Drake might have stole a bid, because I think Loyola was getting Loyola. In. So, yeah, we just can't have any bid stealers.
Longwood is in too, right?
Longwood is in. They've punched their ticket.
Another Virginia school in. It's not Bass Tech or us.
That's right.
Yeah, Bass Tech is one ahead of us. So even if they win and we play them, as long as we beat them, we'll jump them. BYU is ahead. BYU is out of their conference tournament, so now they're just hoping and praying. Dayton, we need Dayton to lose in the A-10, and someone else is ahead of us, I think. But yeah, we need some help.
We do.
Hey, T-Dub, can we do? Because I've got my bracket here off of the ACC website. Can we do like a bracket challenge where we ask our listeners and forum people to send them in and see if anybody gets the bracket?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we should. Now, I know there's never been a perfect bracket in Warren Buffett does this thing every year where he's
the big one.
Yeah, the big one. This is going to be a hard one to predict.
$1 million for this for sure, though.
No.
It's too many combinations. I think someone could just fill out enough to have that many combinations.
Yeah, you got to submit one. So we should send those in. What do we do? Take a picture of it and put it on the forum?
Yeah, how about that? Take a picture, okay. Put it on the forum, or you can just list it out on the forum. I'll put a link in the description for those listening to join our forum and put in your thing, and we'll give you a VIP pack, which has a ton of value in it now, right? Recently, people got Kihei Clark signed court, Kyle Guy signed court, Ty Jerome signed hat. There's limited edition gear that we're putting in there, samples. There's a lot of really cool stuff. Forrest has it, and Forrest just bought it outright not that long ago. He's got a bunch of hoodies now. But yeah, we'll give you a VIP pack for the winter, and we'll do it again for the tournament for March Madness. You know, it's fun. Make it a little more interesting for everybody. I know the forum has always got a lot of hype in chat, so we love it.
Yeah, it'll be good. So look, it's playing that Tony Bennett song. It's the most wonderful time of the year. But we've got a month right now that is about as good as it gets for basketball fans. You got the Masters. You got Kentucky Derby. There's a lot of good stuff coming up. I love this time of year.
I know this is the best. And
this is a fun year, starting off champ week and then get right into the tourney. You know, it's a good time.
A bunch of us are going to Vegas for the tournament. I mean, I do it every year, but I think Grant and Forrest and Mark are going to come out. I don't know. You guys are welcome to come out. Have a good time watching all the games, gambling, having fun. Hard to beat.
Sounds good. Fresh, we're doing a bracket challenge while you were gone. You can print your bracket out, take a picture of it, send it to Locker Room Access winner, put it in forum, post it in forum, or list them out, and then winner gets a VIP package.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So non-emotions aside, where do you think UVA will finish in that bracket?
So I got my non-emotional one here, and I have us... my non-emotional is us losing to Carolina.
That's
fair. but beating Louisville. Carolina scares me. I said it in my emotional one. You can see I've got UVA winning right there. I also have drawn a bass, if you can't see that, for Bass Tech. So you know, I've got two, but I'll submit one of them. I'll flip a coin.
I love it. And then, maybe we'll do another show after the ACC tournament. We could talk. We can do. Last year we did it. It was a lot of fun. We had Ty and a bunch of guys come on and do their actual brackets. Maybe we'll do that again this year.
That was great.
That was super fun. Like Justin did it, Akil and
TJ did it.
TJ did it. That was fun. Maybe we'll do that again. It's a good excuse to talk to everybody and hear their brackets, and you know, fills the void for that time between Selection Sunday and the first game. Feels like an eternity, honestly.
The other thing I'm rooting for, and Mark brought it up on our text messages today, is let's all collectively root for a number 16 seed to knock off a number one.
Oh, so for sure.
More than one example.
I'm putting lots of money on that from the
movie. Longwood beats Duke.
Yes. No, for sure. Amazing. That is going to be a staple bet of me probably till the day I die.
TW, I'm putting $100 on Longwood beats
Duke, whoever they're playing
when you're in
all right.
Vegas.
I'm gonna text you the second I get there. We're doing it. I'm definitely doing 16 over one.
Can I offer a funny thing?
Uh-huh.
I thought it was good. So one of the me and Hav invaded the spaces from ACC contact on Twitter content. Shout out Dan Siegel. And he put out something today, which I thought was kind of cool. ACC awards behind us. How about you give us your ACC superlatives? Most swagger, most inspirational, most clutch, glue guy, best pure athlete, coach you want to play for.
I saw your responses.
Do you like it or not? That's funny, right?
I think your responses were quite on point.
That, and so, not unpredictable. Your response is fresh.
Oh, you saw him predictable.
Have? Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Can you guys like my shit when you see it?
I saw it. I liked it.
So he means the whole ACC. So TW, I said most swagger for me, Poppy. Most inspirational, Kihei.
I like it.
Most clutch, Reese. Glue guy, I didn't really have a good one for us, but I put Armand and Gardner. My favorite yet was best pure athlete, Tame.
I like it.
Rugby.
And I said, the coach you want to play for, who do you think I said, T-Dubs?
I have no idea. Coach K?
Josh Pastner, because I don't think he has rules, but that's just me.
That's fair.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Pastner?
Yeah, it's obviously TB, but I couldn't just.
You can't go.
Can't be a homer.
Yeah.
Whenever I think of Pastner, I think of that, like, Back to the Future mask that he wore that was like the clear.
Yes, yeah. Awesome. The face shield. Yeah, that was awesome.
That was like and wearing an extra medium shirt to every game, the whole thing. It's just, there's no way he tells the guys what to do. And they're like, okay, coach, whatever.
We'll yeah.
Yeah. You got like, a welder's no mask on. I'm not listening to you, bro.
Like, right. Like Bell Biv DeVoe. Don't take that shot next time. Okay, Josh, whatever.
Okay. No, who was it? What was the most memorable moment this ACC season? That's a
got to be Reese.
The whole ACC
for the whole AC for the whole AC. Like looking back on the season, what like when you think back on this year, what do you think we'll remember?
I mean, it's hard to not say Reese because it's us. I'm trying to think of a valid like.
I think Virginia going into Duke and just dominating early. Staving off the Duke and the whole thing, and then winning the game at the buzzer.
Wait, are you talking about moments, T-Dub? Like a moment?
Yeah, a moment.
I would say we got two of them. I'd say Reese's shot against Duke, and I'd say Florida State's shot against us.
Oh, yeah. That's fair.
What about Coach K losing his last final?
Yeah, I was going to say UNC beating Coach K in his last home game.
That's probably, everyone's going to remember that because of ESPN more so than the actual game.
Now, how many games has Coach K lost in Cameron?
76.
You know, is that right?
I think it's close to 76. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know the number. That was
it's incredible.
76 and 42 years. That's incredible.
Less than two a year, right? And they had that one year they were terrible and lost like 11 at home or whatever.
Yeah. And I'll bet you it was very early on they lost a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. His first three years, they were like, they had a losing record.
Who did have? During when me and you played? They never lost to a non-ACC opponent at home ever.
Yeah, they were legit.
So Duke losing outside of Virginia, then it's probably Duke losing that home finale.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of
there wasn't another like crazy moment for the season, right? Like
Miami hit a half court shot against Tech to win the game.
That's right.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Wasn't there something that happened in the Dean Dome this year? Or am I making that up?
Something happened.
The other team did something. Maybe they.
Like, I don't remember. I don't remember any memorable Notre Dame games this year. Like normally they have some big ones. They were pretty quiet this year.
They beat Kentucky. That was not ACC. But
what about college basketball? NCAA. Like, what was the big game? Like last year, you know.
I mean, Texas Tech. Just the whole atmosphere of it. I heard that was
that seemed pretty cool.
Bonkers.
The game yesterday, Kansas going into overtime so that we didn't see Coach K's pregame was great. That was a thing. Thank you. Shout out to Kansas.
Thank you, Kansas.
Yeah, thank you for that. I mean, I wasn't watching regardless.
I do not like Kansas. I don't dislike them. I just have no interest in watching them. I never have. I'm not sure why. Danny Manning, the year they won it, because I was young, and you got to watch the national championship, fine. But I've just never
been a fan of that. I've always wanted to see Virginia play at Kansas and at Kentucky. Like, that's kind of
– yeah.
I would love to go there to watch UVA play those two
I agree with that.
Programs. Like, that's kind of – I asked Ronnie. He's like, no chance, but I'm going to keep asking him. Maybe one day we'll do it.
If we play them, we'll play them at a neutral site, right? And like one of those tournaments.
Yeah, it'll be like Maui Invitational or something like that.
If there was any year they would want it, they should have played us this year.
I'll bet you. So Duke, the first year they won or the second year they won? The first year. when they beat UNLV in the semifinals, they played Kansas in the finals, 1991. Name two players in that Kansas team.
Which one? The one we beat them?
No. Duke. Right? They won in 91, I think, the first time.
Mario Chalmers.
Nope. No, I think it was Jock Vaughn and...
I thought it was Jock Vaughn, too. It's not. It's a bunch of random guys. There was one... Hold on.
It wasn't the Rafe LaFrance. It wasn't the last Roy team. It was before that. If it wasn't Jock Vaughn, it was Greg Ostertag. That was the same team. Nope. So before that, Danny Manning left in what, 88?
I guarantee you there's going to be two names you recognize, and that's it. Because I watched the game. It was on the ESPN, the ACC network. Sorry.
91. So who was it?
All right. Terry Brown, Doug Elston, Alonzo Jameson. Alonzo Jameson was good, big dude. David Joe somebody, Adonis Jordan.
I don't know that name.
I remember. Mark Randall was the one guy I remember. Malcolm Nash, Patrick Rishi, I remember that name. What a total random guys, right? Like I would never have known that.
Over my head.
I think this is the year we're gonna have a mid-major go get in there, Final Four, win it all. That's my guess.
Are you counting Gonzaga as a mid-major?
Yes, for sure they are.
Nice.
Then I might agree.
They are, for sure they are.
I mean, they're in a mid-major conference.
Yeah.
Do they operate as a mid-major? I don't.
They're like a blue blood now. I think of them as like a blue blood.
They're a blue blood. They don't operate as a mid-major.
No, they don't. I'm actually thinking outside of Gonzaga. I think it's going to be just a random team nobody thought of that's going to come in there.
Like a George Mason did.
Yeah, George Mason, Loyola.
Yeah, you know, it's every year we all want to say it's their year, it's going to happen. It hasn't happened, right?
Butler.
I thought last year
went twice to the final game. That's still like the most incredible thing ever.
Yeah, Butler twice in a row, and then Gonzaga last year. That was crazy that they got crushed.
They got smoked.
Devastating.
That was supposed to be a good game. Turned out to be a really bad game.
Yeah, that was wild.
Unfortunately. Gonzaga-Baylor.
The Gonzaga-Baylor finals this year.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. Well, we're rambling now. We'll cut it off. Appreciate you guys jumping on. Again, we'll put all the links in the description if you want to join our ACC Bracket Challenge. Jump in there. We'll be back. Let's go after. If Virginia obviously does, we'll do the pregame and postgame. Join us on Facebook for those. And then we'll recap after Selection Sunday or during Selection Sunday, however you guys want to do it. Look out for that. We'll post it on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll be out. Appreciate everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Go Hoos.